Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Getting you set for the fans' virtual draft party later tonight and reacting to Denver's acquisition of Teddy Bridgewater, presented by Coors Light. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
So that's how I see these guys. I think in many ways they're very different, but for me, like, look, if I'm there at Denver and it's true that Fields is going to be the guy that drops, that'd kind of be incredible.
Tim Hasselbeck on with us earlier this week. He's a big fan of Justin Fields. Our buddy Joel Klatt loves himself some Justin Fields.
Yes!
Is he still in play in your mind even after the trade yesterday? Because I have a sense, Mark, the only quarterback they have a chance of coming away with tonight is, if they're going to go quarterback, is Justin Fields.
I think if Justin Fields starts to fall, and he's there at 9, there is a good chance they take him. 50-50. They take him.
Only if he's there. And they don't move up.
I do not think that they are going to move up to get Justin Fields. I don't think the likelihood of them moving off of 9, Mike, they haven't even been close to making a move on anybody to give up that capital. So if anything, I would say, 50-50 Fields, if he's there, Fields or, a impact player. And then there's probably a 50% chance of them trading down. Does that come out to 150? 50%.
Then what was
50%? You get somebody
else.
Then what was
George Payton's consistent message throughout when it came to Drew Lock in the quarterback position? We like Drew. We think Drew has a lot of potential, but we think Drew needs competition. We will bring in competition. If you take George Payton at his word, they went out yesterday and did exactly what he said they were going to do. Teddy Bridgewater was brought in with the idea to be the competition. If you don't beat him out, settle into that comfortable role as mentor quarterback. So if you're believing and trusting what George Payton was consistent in saying these last couple of months, they're done at the quarterback position. So what's changed?
Well, it just depends on, it depends on how you feel about Drew Lock. He's in there.
But what I'm saying, as of just recently, just a couple days ago, he continued to say the same thing. We like Drew. We like the upside. Right. We like the potential, but we're going to bring in competition. Okay. They did that yesterday. Right. So why are we even talking about quarterback then tonight?
Well, because that's not your whole quarterback room. If you really are having competition, are you really having competition?
You're not going to have Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, and Justin Fields in the same room together.
Why?
It makes no sense.
Why does it make no sense?
Because you just don't have enough reps to go around. What you do is Teddy Bridgewater becomes your placeholder quarterback for 3, 4, 5 weeks, and then Justin Fields takes over.
Yeah, but you
there's
still
no
need
room. So what you do is you trade Drew Lock. If they draft a quarterback tonight, the next move is what kind of value can you get for Lock?
But I thought D-Mac had 6 quarterbacks in the quarterback room.
Yeah, well, that's
build the quarterback room.
Like
wasn't
I
that
said,
part of
that's
dictum or the
that's,
the 37
manifesto,
game manifesto?
I don't know. Doctrine? I don't know.
Like,
so
you're
changes
saying,
every day.
You're saying if they take Justin Fields, then
you automatically are trading Drew Lock.
Okay, so if that is the case, then if your whole mantra all season long was we're going to have quarterback competition, then you have no quarterback competition. If you take Justin Fields at 9, there is no quarterback competition.
Correct.
So everything you said all off season is moot. You just throw it out the window.
Right.
It's
and then
not.
You come out and say, well, that's how I felt at the time.
I mean, that's the old standby line for any general manager. Well, that's how I felt at the time, but things change.
Things change.
I didn't think we'd have a chance to get
Justin Fields.
Fill in the blank quarterback.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. I think that's, I do think that's fair. So then you would keep, you know, they really like Brett Rypien because he's super smart, you know.
Right.
So you keep him around and then you have Fields and you'd have Teddy Bridgewater and you'd ship Drew Lock off for a fifth.
Sure.
Or whatever.
That's what would happen. Yeah. Hey, as Tim Hasselbeck said the other day, you don't draft a quarterback in the top 10 with the idea that he's being brought in to compete with anybody.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You're picking him to be the guy.
Right. You're going to learn until you're ready to play. We'll let Teddy Bridgewater hold the, hold the water.
Yeah.
He's going to hold the bucket until you can take it.
Yeah. Or unless, a doctor nicks your lung with a needle and then you're in there quicker than we thought.
Right.
That's the scenario.
That is correct.
So that's how you're looking at it tonight. The question is, do you have a read of George Payton? That is he the kind of guy that you think still wants a quarterback, or did that move yesterday signal to you this is a guy who's prepared to go at it with Locke and Bridgewater and then continue to build the roster?
What's
your gut feeling?
My gut feeling, Mike, my gut feeling from day one is he's not in love with any of these quarterbacks. And therefore, if you're not in love with any of these quarterbacks, again, I've told you, if you're going to draft a guy in the top 10 or if you're going to move up in the top 10, you're moving up for one guy because you believe in that guy. It is insanely stupid to think anybody moves up because they've got five guys that they're willing to draft. You move up because you're in love with one guy's skill set, one guy's intelligence, one guy's ability. So if you're not in love with anybody, if you're just in like with them, man, then it comes down to, we're either going to take a player or we're going to trade back and pick up another draft pick and have more darts to throw at the dartboard. And that's what my gut says. My gut says I'm not in love with any of these, so I'm going to take a player.
My gut tells me if Justin Fields is there at 9, he takes him.
Yeah, well,
I guess maybe the first question is we got to ask, what do you think the 49ers do? Because the draft starts at the, and I got to give Kyle and John Lynch credit.
Right.
They've got us all guessing. They've got us all guessing. Now, Todd McShay came out with his final mock draft this morning. He says it's going to be Lance.
So are you prepared then? Are you prepared where everybody in this draft process says Lance has got a really high ceiling, but it's going to take a couple of years?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've told you I don't buy that. But, I'll defer to what all the experts say, right? Do you feel like they're going to take Lance because right now there are reports that Jimmy Garoppolo is negotiating contracts?
So a very well-known, been around forever in Boston, radio play-by-play guy named Dale Arnold, here's what he tweeted. What I've been told by a reliable source, Patriots are working on a new contract for Jimmy G that could lead to a deal with the 49ers. Same source who correctly told me Tom Brady had signed with the Buccaneers. Doesn't mean it'll get done, but they're working on it.
And that, and you know what? That wouldn't surprise me. Because, one, we know that Bill Belichick loved Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
We also know, because Kyle told me, that Bill Belichick called him directly in his office and he was like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bill,
It was literally, hey, I've been told I got to move Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't want to, but out of the respect that I have for the Shanahans.
Right. Out of the respect that I have for your dad, father.
Yes.
Will you guys take him for a second rounder? Done.
Right.
That was
like a little quid pro quo.
Yeah. I'm thinking, there's mutual. Hey man, everybody respects him as what he's done coaching wise. There's mutual respect there. So you get a second rounder back. You gave up. Think about all the picks you gave up to move up to 3.
But see, if you take Lance, and there's any truth to the idea that he needs some time, you got a 49er team that's ready to win.
Mm-hmm.
So
if that's the case, then you hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. That's, I mean, those
if
are.
If you draft Mac Jones, who is more pro ready, then you could trade Garoppolo and put Mac Jones in there right away.
You got such a good game. You got such a good coach, such a good game planner, such a good play caller, play offensive executor. And a quarterback in Trey Lance that played under center a bunch. I mean, could you see Kyle going, hey, we'll have some growing pains, but at the end of the day, with a 17th game, we're going to be a playoff team.
That's a tough division. That's a tough division to just sort of, you know, hang around, and then we'll be there at the end. May not have a chance to be there at the end.
Well, do you think Mac Jones, I mean, is Mac Jones all of a sudden give you
okay.
great?
I heard this debate a lot yesterday. I want to throw this question out.
All right.
If you hope the Broncos end up with Justin Fields, who do you have to root for the 49ers to take? Answer that coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
And we look forward to bringing you the draft. Nobody covers the draft better than us here at The Fan. I've been part of, what will this be, my 22nd, 23rd NFL draft here with The Fan, and we've always done it really well. And looking forward to, we're going to just a cast of thousands involved. You and I will be on with The Drive between 6:30 and 8 tonight, so we'll be able to react to everything that the Broncos do. I throw out the question. If you hope the Broncos come away with a quarterback tonight, what has to happen at number three with San Francisco? Who do they need to pick in order to really make it happen?
I think they have to take Mac Jones.
I agree.
Because I could definitely see, if they don't take Mac Jones, I could definitely see Mac Jones slip in into the teens or 20s.
Yep. I think San Francisco's the only team that would take him in the top 10.
I agree. And so I think that that's what you have to see. I think if they take Lance or they take Fields, then there is multiple teams that are trying to scramble up to get the other one. So if they take Fields, I think there's three or four teams scrambling with Detroit, scrambling with whoever. Miami is just open for business, by the way. Miami's totally open because they're sticking their flag in the Tua ground. And they're saying, hey, man, he's going to improve. We're just going to build our team around him and see what happens. And they understand, you know, you brought up something during the break on an article that you read on coming into this draft a year early.
Yeah, Matt Miller,
right,
who we've had on before. So he did a way too early mock draft 2 days after the draft last year.
Right.
And it was funny to read it because it did have many of the names that we're already familiar with. But you know who is not in his top 32 mock draft? There was no Zach Wilson,
mm-hmm.
and there was no Mac Jones.
Yes.
Lawrence was there. Fields was there. Lance was there. No Zach Wilson, no Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Which, you know, this is why I always laugh when people are like, well, you got to get a quarterback this year because next year's quarterback class isn't that good. Please. Please.
There will be two guys that aren't on the radar that elevate themselves into potential top 10 picks.
Of course. You can see it. The cycle we're in right now, there will be four or five quarterbacks who will be first rounders, projected first rounders every year for the foreseeable future moving forward. And trust me, guys you've never heard of or don't even barely pop up on your radar will play themselves into being can't miss prospects a year from now. Bank on it.
Yeah, that happens every year. And so, and another reason, Mike, that, like, I just don't feel, and I have never felt like, and again, I don't know anything. I mean, I'm hanging with the right. This is what makes it interesting, right? This is what makes it great. We're all speculating right now. We're all trying to read whatever signs, tea leaves, whatever guys say, this, that, and the other. Like, I saw a thing, Kyle Shanahan addressing the media yesterday. And basically, they were asking about RG3 in the 2012 season. And he's like, hey, man, even though we did the zone read stuff with RG3, 70% of our run game was still wide zone. But it was the threat of the read zone, the threat of RG3 taking it to the edge. And then what came off of that in the passing game? You want to stop the read zone, you can stop it, but what do you open up? You know, so he goes through this whole dissertation. And then he says, you got to have the right guy with the right skill set that can still throw the ball, that can still do all those things. And you've got to be, you, like, does that guy exist in this draft? You got to think about that one.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
You got to appreciate Schefty, by the way. On his Twitter handle, Twitter page today, he just put, finally, at a picture of Kevin Costner from Draft Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves that. He loves that when we play that, by the way. All right, so a couple of tweets, a couple of news items from Schefter this morning. Multiple teams are expected to contact the 49ers today to inquire about the availability of Jimmy Garoppolo. But as of early this morning, the chances of him being traded are, in the words of one source, remote. Let's see if anything changes in the next 72 hours. If they have no intention of moving Jimmy Garoppolo, unless they're blown away, that tells me it's Lance.
See, these are the tea leaves. You know, I said that whole dissertation about the quarterback and you got to have the right guy. And I saw Clint Sterner, who used to play quarterback in this league, say, aha, see, I told you it wasn't Mac Jones. Yeah, but do you have that guy? Is Lance that guy? Is Fields that guy? Do you want to really go back and change your offense to a degree, but change your offense and also risk the guy pulling the trigger after 2 years of or 3 years of Jimmy Garoppolo being hurt? So Jimmy Garoppolo's biggest issue, and there are a few, but his biggest issue is availability. He can't seem to stay healthy. So do you really want to go to and that's in an offense that runs the ball that protects him. So do you really want to go to an offense that requires your quarterback to threaten the edge of a defense in the run game when you've come off of one healthy season in three seasons with Jimmy Garoppolo?
One other note from Schefter. The Panthers have informed Drew Rosenhaus that they are picking up the fifth-year option for wide receiver DJ Moore. You know who they have not yet picked up the fifth-year option on?
Yes.
Sam Darnold.
Yes.
Which is leading to speculation from Schefter that they still may be in on a quarterback tonight.
Absolutely.
And, oh, could that change things?
Why wouldn't you be? And by the way, you could still pick up the fifth-year option on Sam Darnold because it doesn't and your quarterback room is still undervalued or underpaid. If you draft like at if you sit there, where's Carolina at seven? If you sit there at seven and you take Justin Fields at seven, you're paying him a rookie deal. You're paying Sam Darnold. You're picking up the fifth-year option, you're still at $20-some-odd million for the quarterback room. You're still at value.
All right, Four Down Territory is coming up next. We'll take a look at what we think the Broncos will do. We'll give our fearless prediction as to what the Broncos do tonight, and Mark and I are on different pages. We'll tell you what those are next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
For First down.
Davis switches to his left hip as Bridgewater has the snap. Sets, pumps, throws into the flat, complete Anderson. Anderson left pylon, scores a touchdown.
Panthers radio right there. You know, I have an issue with this. We brought up the idea that, hey, don't worry, there's going to be another crop of quarterbacks next year.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry about it. To which I got this text. Hey, dum-dums. They called us dum-dums.
Dum-dums.
Hey, dum-dums, when people say you have to draft a quarterback this year because you won't have a chance next year, that's 100% true unless you're expecting the draft to draft in the top 10 next year. Think outside the box for once. Okay, listen. If Teddy Bridgewater ends up being your starting quarterback this year and he beats out Drew Lock, you're going to be picking in the top 10 again next year. I like Teddy Bridgewater as a placeholder or as a mentor. I don't like him as a starting quarterback. If Drew Lock does not improve enough that Teddy Bridgewater beats him out, you're going to be back in the top 10. I promise you. And if Drew Lock does make that leap and you're picking 18, 19, 20, guess what? You're going to come away from the season feeling like, okay, Locke can be the guy. And then you're not looking for a quarterback anyway. Why? Right? Doesn't that reasoning make sense?
Here's what drives me crazy. Like, we are so prisoners of the moment and prisoners of this groupthink mentality that prevails in the NFL. Gotta get quarterback, gotta get top 10. All right, let me ask you a question. If you're a good team with a good roster, can you win 12 games and still get a top 10 pick? That never happens, right? Like Kansas City didn't find the guy that they love and move up multiple times to get Patrick Mahomes. Remember, they were drafting at like 26 or 27. They got up to 10. You realize, one, you're 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11. Odds are you're probably going to be picking in the top 15, okay, Mr. Dum-Dum? And this notion that the top 10 is the magic elixir, folks, I've done the research, okay? This is factual. Okay, this isn't just opinion, this is factual. Over the last 20 years, the failure rate of quarterbacks taken in the top 10 is 75%. You have a 1-in-4 shot of finding a good quarterback. Over the last 20 years, I would argue you've only seen maybe a half dozen really change a franchise. Right. Quarterback. You know, the true definition of a franchise quarterback, there have been maybe 6 or 7 in the last 20 years taken in the top 10. I did the research the other day. In the last 20 years, 49 quarterbacks taken in the top, in the first round, I guess, right? 49 quarterbacks taken in the first round in the last 20 years. Their winning percentage, overall, 516. 22 quarterbacks taken in the second round over the last 20 years. You know what the win percentage was? 516. Identical.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
That's morbid Kyle Shanahan right there.
I love that.
Clearly in touch with the Mayans. Mm-hmm. So what do you think they do? The draft starts at 3, and it's amazing because the draft starts at 3. They could easily just come out and say, this is our guy. Why haven't they?
I think it's hold it close to the vest. It's, I don't know why.
I mean, they're not trying to create intrigue with the idea of, hey, come on up and trade for the pick, somebody. Right. They're not doing that. The only thing that makes sense, is they're trying to maximize value for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
that's
you're
the
right.
Only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. Trying to maximize the value for Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, let's face it. They said, hey, we're not going to trade him before the draft. If they say you were not going to trade him before the draft, what does that mean? We're trading him during the draft, right? And we're maximizing his value. I go with Chris Sims.
He said Mac Jones.
And he has been from day one, and he's still on Mac Jones. He has never wavered.
They're boys.
They're like besties.
Don't they have like matching tattoos or something?
Yeah, like Texas tattoos or something. Longhorns or something like that.
That's cute. See, D-Mac got his tattoo yesterday?
I did see that. With a little clover on his back?
Yeah. No, was it a clover or does it say 37?
I don't know.
But a dictum. A lock dictum.
I don't... It looked like a clover, but it would look like it was in a clover. I don't know.
Hey, I give him all the credit in the world. He has lost a ton of weight. Now we got to get him in the weight room.
Yeah, apparently eliminating trans fats doesn't make you not fat. But, I mean, I'm fat, so I can say that, right?
Next in 4 Down territory.
Third down. I think this is a draft day trade because you don't know if that player is going to be there. And so typically these happen when you're on the clock, when they're on the clock. And so, you know, obviously we had a few trades early, but they knew they were going to get one of their players. You know, if we were to move up, we're not sure the player we're moving up for would be there.
George Payton, getting ready for his first draft. Gut feeling, what happens tonight?
Gut feeling is in the first, my gut feeling is they either stay put and take a positional player, a guy that they think is a Rashawn Slater, a Horn at the quarterback position, a Parsons, something like that, or they move back, collect a pick for the one they gave up for Teddy Bridgewater and still find one of those guys, Horn, Slater, whoever the case may be. That's what my gut tells me.
My gut tells me he's hoping that all the quarterbacks are gone by the time the Broncos pick at 9. So the temptation can be removed. And he can just go pick a guy or even trade back, whatever. Although, who's going to trade up to number 9 if all the quarterbacks are gone? So I think in a perfect world, all the quarterbacks are gone and he just stays at number 9 and makes a pick. If a quarterback is there at 9... Mark, I don't think he's going to be able to resist the temptation. I hope he's made of stronger stuff than this, but as a first-time GM, gain a chance to do this, and just the temptation that comes with the idea of picking my quarterback that's going to energize the fan base, make me a hero amongst Broncos country, I don't think he'll be able to resist the temptation.
I disagree. I think he will be. I think he'd be part of the Wolfpack.
Well, that is true. We are the Wolfpack here in the morning because
Wolves don't concern themselves with a penny and a sheep.
That'll do it for 4 Down territory. Our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. That's 3rd and long, so we're going to punt.
The King is here.
Boy, Marquette King, by the way, has been very, very active on social media trying to get back into the league.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
I have not noticed. Maybe I don't follow Marquette King. There's a shock.
All right. So we'll get to your reaction. We got a wide open segment here. Chance for you to really react. Tell us what you think the Broncos will do, what you think they should do. Are you still holding on to a quarterback? Do you want anybody but a quarterback? We'll get to your hot takes next. All right. We're going to get to your texts. A lot of them rolling in. Broncos country, what say you as we get ready for this important draft coming up tonight? George Payton's first. Speaking of George Payton, our 9 News Bronco insider Mike Kliss tweeting out in the last hour. Talking to people around the NFL, Payton has a few balls in the air going into today. Broncos breakdown this way. 50% chance they get a QB somehow, some way. 25% chance they stay at 9 and take the best non-QB available. 25% chance they move back, get the extra pick value, take the best player available.
So my percentages were 50, 50, and 50.
Which equals 150.
150.
This actually equals 100.
Well, that's why Kliss is smarter than me right there.
But they teach you at Murray State.
Who knew? Those percentages, man. They'll jack you around a little bit.
As we look at these quarterback prospects, what about the idea of Mac Jones, who now you guys, you and Millennial Ben, are calling Squishy Mac Jones?
Yes, I did say he looks squishy.
Squishy,
right?
Mac, why?
Like Mac the Knife, he's Mac the Squishy. He just looks like a, It looks like one of them, like if you took his body and made a stress relief doll, you know, where you... Right? It just is like... Right? Isn't that what he looks like? Like a, just like
a stress toy. Right. Stress doll.
He should be endorsing, when he gets drafted, endorsing cottage cheese. Hey, Mac Jones here.
Oh, you just got Millennial Ben to do a spit take.
Hi, Mac Jones here for cottage cheese. Man, I'll tell you what, I love cottage cheese. Can't get enough. I like the large curd, the small curd. I love all the curds. Speaking of curds, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, the picture of him, although, hey, if he goes on to be a great, great quarterback, the picture, you know how they always show Tom Brady's?
Yeah, weigh-in.
Combine weigh-in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Brady now looks like 25 years younger than that dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Tom Brady back in 1999, 2000.
Yeah, he went Benjamin Buttons.
Yeah,
on all of us.
Yeah, he's had some great work done.
I just think he is, I don't know what it is.
But with Mac Jones, maybe it'll be the same thing. 20 years from now, when he's a Hall of Fame quarterback married to a supermodel wife, we'll look back on that photo of him after the championship game where he's puffing on a cigar all doughy and squishy, cottage cheese-like, large curd.
Yeah. And we'll be like, look at what he became. Uh-huh. From that picture to what he is now. All fancy hairdo and, you know, chiseled jaw. He'll probably have a... Can you have a cleft put in your chin? Like, can you go to the doctor to get a butt chin? Like, who do you see to get a butt chin?
To add a butt chin.
Yeah, you add a butt chin.
Yeah. Greg Cosell is a very respected NFL talent evaluator.
Yes, he is.
Grinds through the film, loves looking at film. He's a grinder, just like George Payton. Anyway, he was on with Colin Cowherd, The Herd, talking about quarterbacks, and here's what he had to say about Mac Jones.
In a sense, why is Mac Jones ready to play? Because traits that Mac Jones shows are the kinds of traits that seem like they could be good anywhere. In other words, he plays with efficiency. He gets the ball out of his hands. He's an executor of an offense. And by the way, I watched a number of Steve Sarkisian clinics in the last couple of weeks, and that offense is really well schemed. So he executed at a really, really high level. We don't know if Justin Fields was in that offense, would he have executed it at a really high level? We don't know the answer to that. So it's easy to say that Mac Jones is the most ready because of the way in which he played executing a really well-designed and well-schemed offense.
I like Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones because he still represents what wins in this league. And until proven otherwise, guys who can operate and dominate from the pocket, they don't go out of style. But that's for me. It just seems like now if you're going to take a quarterback that high, it's with the idea that he's multidimensional. So that you can look at that quarterback and say, he's the next Russell Wilson. He's the next Deshaun Watson. You know, he's the next quarterback that can beat you from the pocket, but beat you with his legs. And Mac Jones just doesn't fit that profile, which is why if it's not San Francisco, I don't see him going in the top 10.
I would agree with that take. I will ask you, why is it? Like, why is it that the NFL has become so enamored with the quarterback that is the athlete? Why do you think that is? Because I have a theory on that.
I have two answers to that.
Okay.
One, look at Russell Wilson. I mean, if Russell Wilson's kind of that ultimate, can beat you both ways.
Although, if you look at Russell Wilson, the odds of him beating you running the ball are slim to none. He does not want to run it, and he doesn't run it very often. But go ahead.
Okay. Here's the other
one. Mr. Unlimited.
Here's the other answer I think is more telling right now. Because of his athleticism, that quarterback buys you time to be competitive and certainly entertaining while he's learning to master the art of throwing from the pocket. It's like Josh Allen. first 2 years in the league, Josh Allen wasn't a passing quarterback. He wasn't a guy that was going to beat you from the pocket. But he made enough plays with his legs to make him competitive out there. And people love the idea of a quarterback making plays with his legs. It's exciting, right? So it buys you some time while he's continued to develop into what, you know, an Allen has become this year, which was somebody that can beat you equally from the pocket or with his legs.
I like that. I like that theory. I would add on there that I think that because of the limited time that you have as coaches now, and because of the fact that guys don't want to come into the facilities, and guys want to train on their own, and this, that, and the other, I think it's hard to coach. I think it's hard to coach legitimate quarterback play, and so you bring in a little bit more. And gimmick is probably the wrong word, Mike, but a little bit more gimmicky, one read. Use your athleticism, hold the backside. I understand the run game. Like, I understand out of shotgun, it truly becomes 11 on 11 where you've been playing 10 on 11 your whole life. Becomes 11 on 11. But I also understand the risk reward involved. I understand that you look at that situation and you say, how dynamic is my guy? And what is the likelihood of my guy getting hurt? You know, I mean, for every one Lamar Jackson, there are 10 RG3s that just get beat down. And let's face it, RG3, as athletic as RG3 was or is, and he is, he ain't no Lamar Jackson. They're like that. They broke the mold. That's once in a generational type athlete. And I think the thought is, hey, we can go get Lamar Jackson. Good luck, because there's, you know, right now there's one or two on the planet. So I just think that's a little bit of a pipe dream.
This one from Mile High Mully. Mully, Mully, Mully. The Broncos stay at 9 and select Micah Parsons, strengthening their defense and understanding they will have a middle-of-the-pack offense in 2021. If they stay at 9 and don't take a quarterback, who do you think it is?
The issue that I have with Parsons and picking there at 9, and I honestly don't have an issue with this, Mike. I don't. But this is the prevailing NFL thought. You don't take a middle linebacker in the top 10 unless he's Devin White, you know, Roquan Smith. Like, he's got to be the end all be all to middle linebackers. Most of the time you see those guys going at 19 to 26, somewhere in there, right? And so there's this, again, it's a groupthink aspect. That's too much value for a guy who's not a cornerstone position. Too much value for a guy who doesn't play left tackle, who doesn't play, and right tackle and left tackle have morphed because of the amount of spread that everybody plays, the amount of 11 personnel. So they're, now both sides are short sides 65% of the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, so back in my day when I first came in, you were right-handed 85% of the time and you had an inline tight end. You had a Y lined up there. And so the left tackle had the premium on him. It's not that, it's really not that way anymore, but I digress. So a cornerstone position, which is tackle, let's just give it tackle instead of just left tackle, but just tackle, corner, quarterback, right, and edge pass rusher. And so most people would say 10 is too high for a middle linebacker, or 9 is too high for a middle linebacker, so let's take a premium corner there, because you can never have enough corners on your roster. Premium corners on your roster, you can never have enough. And then let's find a guy that can flat run, you know, that is great in later in the first round if we bump back up, or second or third round. Does that make sense?
Real quick, I want to read this one. This one is irritating. I hope the Broncos don't even think about listening to any of you. Fields sucks. Couldn't beat out Haskins at Ohio State for the starting job, and Haskins sucks. So let's go get his backup. Okay. Texter, you're coaching at Ohio State. Dwayne Haskins didn't work out in the NFL. Dwayne Haskins in 2018 at Ohio State, in 14 games threw for over 4,800 yards with 50 touchdowns and 8 picks for a Buckeyes team that went 13-1 and won the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay? Hey, say whatever you want about Dwayne Haskins, the pro. Dwayne Haskins in college was really good.
Yeah. Yeah,
really
by the
good.
Way.
And by the way, yeah, go ahead. You yeah. take it. Yeah, you got it.
By the way, Joe Burrow had a transfer to LSU and have the greatest season in the history of college football because he couldn't beat out Haskins.
So stop with that. I'm sorry. That's skim milk right there. If you don't like Justin Fields, fine. But don't make it because he didn't beat out Dwayne Haskins. Joe Burrow didn't beat out Dwayne Haskins either.
Oh, that is skim milk. Thank you, Benny. Thank you.
Hey, right now we want to give you a chance to win MLB The Show 21. It's out now on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. It's fun for hardcore casual baseball fans. You get to play all 162 games or just drop in for the biggest moments of the postseason. Create your own dream team in Diamond Dynasty with your favorite legends and current stars. We're giving away a free copy for PlayStation or Xbox. All you have to do to win is to enter to register for the free Denver Sports Daily, our daily newsletter with news, columns, game recaps, and more. So you can sign up now at denverfan.com. Do it, and you're automatically in the running to win MLB The Show 21. Good luck. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.